ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. A veto of a transgender bill, ABC's Andy Field.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine breaking with his Republican Party and rejecting their bill that would have banned gender-affirming care for minors in his state, saying that's not a lawmaker's decision.
Ohio's Republican majority lawmakers could try to override the veto. There are no specific threats to the Times Square New Year's Eve celebration, but thousands of police officers will be on duty. This is New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
The lights are on Broadway. The lights are on in New York City. And the lights are on in America. This is America's city, and we are proud to host this major event.
U.S. Central Command says the U.S. Navy shot down 10 attack drones and 5 missiles deployed by Houthi rebels in the southern Red Sea targeting international shipping. The Trump campaign says it's appealing Maine's 14th Amendment ruling disqualifying the former president from appearing on the state's primary ballot. A down day, but an up year for Wall Street. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Abortions are back on again at Planned Parenthood's clinic in Sheboygan after being suspended out of concern over state law. Sheboygan County's district attorney says he won't press charges, but he is appealing a judge's ruling that Wisconsin law bans feticide and not consensual abortions. The flu, RSV, and COVID-19 are still running high in Wisconsin. Dr. Tom Haupt is Wisconsin's chief epidemiologist.
There's no indication that there's any kind of plateau going on, that we are leveling out. Everything is still on a pretty steep increase over the past few weeks.
2 children under the age of 5 died from RSV in Wisconsin last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. If you've ever wondered if a lion or otter can create art worthy of display in your home, now's your chance to find out. The Lake Superior Zoo is now offering animal prints to customers of paintings done by the zoo's animals. Some of the animals available to create those custom paintings include lions, cougars, otters, and even snakes. The paintings start at $25, but prices fluctuate based on what animal artist does your painting and what size the canvas is. The paintings can be ordered on the Lake Superior Zoo's website. Alliant Energy has announced the completion of 6 new solar farms in Wisconsin. According to their announcement, the 6 new solar farms bring the company's generating capacity in the state to 764 megawatts, which could power as many as 225,000 homes when operating at full capacity. The company is also planning to begin operations at 3 additional solar projects in 2024, increasing their energy generation to a predicted 1,089 megawatts, powering 300,000 homes. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Badgers hockey in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's hockey team skated to a 3-0 shutout of Air Force to advance to the finals in the holiday face-off tournament at Milwaukee's Five Serve Forum. The Badgers improved to 15-4 for the season, ranked 6th in the nation. Tonight, they'll play Northeastern in the finals. Wisconsin head coach Mike Hastings on what it means to bring Badgers hockey to Five Serve Forum.
You know, we represent the entire state, not just Madison. And so for us to be able to go in and share what we have here and try and go in and represent the entire state in a different zip code, yeah, it's special.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. I asked wide receiver Romeo Doubs on what to expect from Minnesota's defense.
Really experienced players on defense. You know, they love the pressure. That's been one of their biggest things throughout this year. It just comes down to us just playing good football overall. So.
That's Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight to low in the low 20s.
Mostly cloudy tomorrow, a few flurries in the afternoon and evening, a high in the low 30s. Some snow showers tomorrow night, then more clouds and low 30s for Sunday. Sunshine is back for New Year's Day Monday, high near 30. Current temp is 30.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Wisconsin, whether you are, like me, a sweet little unforgettable thing or some sort of sour, easily forgettable thing, either way, it doesn't matter because this is the Maggie Dawn Show, your daily dose of usually a lot better constructed explanations of the most important topics in law, civility, things of this sort. Instead, of course, this is the last show of the year. Maggie's not here. So who is? Who else would be filling in her very big, very tall high heels? None other, of course, than me. Anya, her producer. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time talking about... What did we talk about? That's such a good question. We spoke about the passing of Herb Cole. But I spent the better half of the show talking about the cuts coming to West Virginia University's arts programs, the way that statistics, numbers, factual evidence is twisted by different legislative groups to take a department that had a 100% postgraduate placement rate and reduce it via remarks and rolled eyes to a laughable institution no more important than that of underwater basket weaving or its like. And I spent a lot of time talking about that issue way off in faraway West Virginia land because I didn't have the time since hearing about the news yesterday morning to pull together all the facts I felt I needed to discuss the far more pressing, far closer issues at hand for Wisconsin and Wisconsin schools, which are the ongoing issue, investigation, whatever you may call it, of now former University of La Crosse, University of Wisconsin La Crosse chancellor being fired, as well as I believe his wife and her involvement. I needed time because the initial reactions to the news coming out about Chancellor Gao, his wife, Karen, or sorry, not his wife, Karen. I apologize. Is that right? Is that her name? No, Miss Wilson. Either way, Carmen, there we go. Mr. Gao and Miss Wilson. I didn't have enough time to ensure that the worst case scenario, at the very least, or what I could say the unforgivable scenario, was not what was at hand, which is I needed time to ensure that these folks were not doing something that outright seemed to involve the power dynamic they had with the school, with faculty, with students. You can see immediately where a field's worth of red flags pop up. I had to ensure that this was not what folks were talking about. And my understanding, and this is, of course, bearing the understanding that I cannot peer into the future and ensure that no other shoes are going to drop in this story, but from the information available at present, while we can argue whether it is tasteful, whether it is appropriate, whether it is okay for someone of Mr. Gao and Ms. Wilson's statuses to create this media and put it out, I think what we have at the very least is an instance where it seems to me, and again, feel free to call or text in if you have a refutation to this, at the very, very least, nothing illegal, neither to the law of the state or the federal law, nor the law of the university, that being involvement between professors and students, involvement between supervisors and their employees. My understanding, aside from the fact that these two are married, obviously, to each other and work together, that these laws and morals, these at least, if nothing else, these lines in the sand we draw around the idea of what it means to have ethics around sex and power, I'm not seeing an instance where Mr. Gao and Ms. Wilson have crossed those lines. That is not to say I don't think that lines of other sorts were not crossed. I do think there are lines of other sorts that were crossed. But I reflect on this also specifically in the wake of what's happening in Florida with Bridget Ziegler and her husband, Christian. This being Bridget Ziegler, co-founder or co-something. I don't really know what her job in all of it was, but co-somebody for the notorious right-wing group Moms for Liberty. She is in the wake of rape accusations coming out against her husband being removed from her position on a school board down there. And yet, in reality, I find the unfortunate truth is that Ms. Ziegler is not being removed from her position because of the accusations against her husband. I think we can all understand how unconstitutional, how wrong it would be unless both husband and wife are indicted on these charges, accused of these charges, to remove someone from their position on account of something their spouse stands accused of, right? That is not what is happening to Ms. Ziegler. The other part of the story that the part that is hard to understand as we await further news, further information from the ongoing court case, is that previous to, or potentially aside from, it's hard to phrase it without knowing the facts, of course, but ahead of Mr. Ziegler assaulting this other woman, Mr. and Mrs. Ziegler had engaged in group sex with this other woman in what's known as a threesome. And the seemingly, excuse me for one moment, I didn't want to cough directly in your ear. It seems in this moment, Ms. Ziegler is not, the punishment, the awareness of a need for punishment did not come about because of Ms. Ziegler's involvement with a notoriously cruel, homophobic, sexist, Islamophobic organization. Excuse me, sorry to sniff right in your ear there. She was not removed for her position on the school board because of this, nor was she removed because of her not that this accusation stands, as far as I know it, but she was not removed because of some assumption of involvement in the crime at hand that Mr. Ziegler is accused of. No, she is being removed the agreement to remove her was finally able to be agreed upon when the knowledge of the engagement in the consensual threesome came about. And again, I reiterate, barring the potential for unknown shoes to fall from unknown places, I do not see similar accusations in the case against Mr. Gao and Ms. Wilson. Instead, I see two adults engaging in a consensual relationship with each other and with others, which I will remind you is not illegal in this country. You are welcome to, encouraged to, and have the right to feel any such way about any such relations between those you know and those you don't know, between yourself and others, of course. But I will remind you that unlike other nations in our midst in today's world, other nations where a man and a woman cannot rent a hotel room together without showing proof of their marriage, we live in an age where there are still other nations in our midst where hand-holding, kissing, PDA, however you may feel about it, oh, it's distasteful, oh, it's this or it's that, is still illegal in other places. And I'm not here to get into the final say on what is and what isn't appropriate in the public eye before children and God and whatever else. But I do want to discuss my sticking point with both the situation in La Crosse involving Mr. Gao and Ms. Wilson, the situation in Florida regarding the Ziegler's, Bridget and Christian, and some additional situations I'll get into after some messages here in a moment, that if we are going to uphold this sort of secondary set of laws wherein consensual sexual relations and the documentation of them therein, potentially by video or audio or photography, what may have you, and the publication thereof, that the assumed crime of that, which exists in the secondary set of laws that we seem to have been asked to concede to, that somewhere within there is this rule about you're not allowed to be in any way public about engaging in these sort of things. However, if and when it becomes public knowledge that individuals of your ilk, people in power, have engaged in non-consensual forms of sex, non-consensual forms of sexual contact, be their documentation or not, be that documentation publicized or not, that those individuals openly engaging in non-consensual sex are not met with nearly the same level of persecution, of prosecution, either way. And additionally, the time it takes for everyone to sort of get their things together in front of them and say, you know what, you're right, this allegation is enough and this is wrong, that process is far more slowed for some reason when it comes to the process of getting an accusation of non-consensual involvement forward and getting those folks who are actually using the positions of power they have to hurt others out. For some reason, that's much harder. What's also hard is for me to end a sentence, clearly. But I'm going to end it for right now. We'll be back after these short messages. This is Sweet Little Unforgettable Thing by B. Miller.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on The Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You're listening to the
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. What you're hearing under me, what I'm sort of interrupting, is the opening to the music video for a song I've really fallen for recently called Feather by Sabrina Carpenter. I'm your dream come true when it's on a platter for you. Then you pull back when I try to make plans. And it's rare that I hold on a song for this long. Mostly because I usually want to give Maggie as much time as possible to talk about the very important, very smart thoughts that she has on things. And for me, I'm kind of trying to run out the clock sometimes. But also, Miss Carpenter's song here, again, Sabrina Carpenter, the song is called Feather, came out about a month ago. The reason I'm playing it longer and talking about it is because for once, the song itself is the news. Feather, the official video, which I'm playing, was part of it was filmed inside of a Catholic church. Miss Carpenter's work and the work of many young women in the music industry right now is tackling the topic of religious trauma. Religious trauma often springing from, not always, quite obviously, but sometimes, certainly, springing from sexual misconduct by members of the church or members of whatever religious group you may have at hand, members of your temple, your congregation, members of clergy, however it is you want to phrase it, a great many Americans, especially young Americans, folks my age, I'm 25, for example, are deconstructing, de-assimilating, disassociating a little from experiences they had within institutions that were meant to teach purity or some sort of sense of what is right and what is wrong. And yet it was individuals within those very institutions who did things that are objectively wrong, such as molestation, assault, so on and so forth. These actions that are inherently non-consensual. One party is doing something that the other party has not agreed to. Now, Miss Carpenter, this song specifically is not, it's about many things, but it is about the relationship to the soul and the church, what is right and what is wrong. When we were shown so many things as kids and we were told all of this is wrong, but some of it really wasn't. Some of it was just being a human woman or being a human who is gay or being a human who is trans. But additionally, lumped in there were things like the quite obvious stuff, like it is thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's stuff, right? And so deconstructing from these things where it's like, well, some of this was wrong and also some of this was just being human. And also the idea that potentially after deconstructing these ideas, someone could actually start to have a more positive relationship with the very institution that they left. To talk about consent, agreement, if consent is nothing else, it is at its very least a conversation, the idea that you are discussing. You are saying, I would like to X, may I? And the other person involved in whatever X may be is saying, yes, you may with me, and here's how. And here's when I'd like to stop, and here's when I'd like to start, and here's please don't do this. And this isn't just for sex, although, of course, it's mandatory for that. But this is for all sorts of things. And there was an agreement between Ms. Carpenter, the creator of the song, and the priest presiding over the Blessed Virgin Mary Church in Brooklyn, where part of the music video was filmed. The agreement being she spoke with this priest, expressed what they were going to do. here's the equipment, here's how many people, here's the time and dates. And this was all agreed upon between Miss Carpenter, her production company, and blah, 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 all the parts of film and music video production that I won't bore you with. And yet after the fact, someone above this priest, a member of the Diocese of Brooklyn, not only decided that they needed to have been consulted on this, which potentially, if you want to talk about the interior logistics of the Catholic Church, that's for a different show. But the decision was made by that archdiocese that this transgression could not to just use more religious language, but this transgression could not be forgiven. This priest who allowed Ms. Carpenter to film her video there was removed from his position forthright. And this came out, there's like a series of priests and bishops across the world being removed from different positions, some for good reason, some for no reason, some for, in my opinion, like this very bad reason. And it comes back to the same, not argument, but maybe point, if I could say that I would have a point on a day like this, that Ms. Carpenter and this priest agreed to do this. And while others who were outside of the agreement can discuss whether or not it was distasteful, the point stands, the agreement was made. In the instance of Mr. Gao and Ms. Wilson, I make this point not to sound like a contracts lawyer. You know, we have an accord. We must stick to it. We must make this adult film. No. But to say all of these instances where suddenly there is the ability to come down with an iron fist and remove someone from a position of power. There suddenly is swift, concrete action against the offenders, whoever they may be. In instances where everyone comes forward and says, yeah, we had sex, or yeah, we shot the music video, because everyone who actually was involved was fine with it. So why would there be hiding it? Or trying to make it sound like certain parties didn't agree, like Ms. Carpenter saying, no, we broke into the church, or the priest saying, they never asked, I had no idea what they meant. Or Mr. Gao saying, I never had sex with that woman, or Ms. Wilson saying, I never engaged in sex with those folks. Everyone involved agreed to be involved. So when the question of were you involved is asked, of course the answer is going to be, yeah. And again, you and the Board of Regents and everybody else has the right to discuss if it is appropriate, if it is necessary, if it is okay in an ethical, spiritual, whatever sense for a chancellor to be making adult films, or for a priest to allow the filming of a music video in the parish he oversees. We can have these discussions. That's what talk radio is for. My whole job is about having long, sort of semi-meaningless conversations with myself, right? What I cannot do, should not do, what none of us should be doing, whether we are a member of the diocese or a member of the Board of Regents or whatever have you, we should not be enacting that power we have against people on our decision of what is distasteful, when if nothing else, it is consenting and legal. I would love to see the energy we are bringing upon the consenting folks be brought against those who engage in acts without consent. What I'm saying is hang your local rapist. We'll be back after the break.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Six. Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Lawyers for Republican lawmakers are asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to reconsider its ruling that the state's legislative maps are unconstitutional. The Republicans argue the court's January 12th deadline for proposing new maps is rushed. Boundaries need to be in place by March 15th for next fall's state house races. Smart toys are popular holiday gifts, but they may be recording conversations or collecting personal information or tracking where you are.
They have microphones or cameras, or they connect to an app, or they're Wi-Fi enabled or Bluetooth. They have geolocators, which is a whole thing. So parents really need to ask a lot of questions when it comes to these smart toys.
Teresa Murray is with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Minnesota officials are warning residents to use extreme caution on ice after a mild start to the winter season. The warnings come with an increase in the number of ice rescues emergency services have needed to perform, as typically this time of year in the northern regions, colder weather allows people to drive vehicles out onto the ice. A number of people have already fallen through ice this year, and this past week, authorities confirmed a person drowned after their vehicle fell through the ice on Lake of the Woods. Employment data in Wisconsin is looking good heading into 2024. According to the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, coming into December, the state had an unemployment rate of 3.3%, well lower than the national average of 3.7%. Data is still being collected for December, but in November, Wisconsin had over 3 million people working and 1,700 employees were added to the workforce. The biggest concern for the state's workforce heading into 2024 is a lack of people to fill open jobs. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Badgers hockey in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's hockey team skated to a 3-0 shutout of Air Force to advance to the finals in the holiday face-off tournament at Milwaukee's Five Serve Forum. The Badgers improved to 15-4 for the season, ranked 6th in the nation. Tonight, they'll play Northeastern in the finals. Wisconsin head coach Mike Hastings on what it means to bring Badgers hockey to Five Serve Forum.
You know, we represent the entire state, not just Madison. And so for us to be able to go in and share what we have here and try and go in and represent the entire state in a different zip code, yeah, it's special.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. I asked wide receiver Romeo Doubs on what to expect from Minnesota's defense.
Really experienced players on defense. You know, they love the pressure. That's been one of their biggest things throughout this year. It just comes down to us just playing good football overall. So.
That's Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight to low in the low 20s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, a few flurries in the afternoon and evening, a high in the low 30s. Some snow showers tomorrow night, then more clouds and low 30s for Sunday. Sunshine is back for New Year's Day Monday, high near 30. It's 28 degrees right now.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. 1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540.
Randy Wace. Hates the drama but loves the taste. All her friends hate her. All the boys want to date her. She's unavailable. They want her because she's unattainable. Small town girl.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. We're talking about all kinds of sexy stuff before the end of the year. All sorts of things like consent and civility and public decency. You know, the real naughty stuff. I want to say before we go to the phones that the point I was trying to illustrate, I always sort of get out of the segment and then think I've just thrown a bunch of word salad at you. So forgive me if I'm repeating myself. But the distinction or the parallel I want to draw between Sabrina Carpenter filming, agreeing consensually to film her video in that church, the priest agreeing to it, the similarity between that and the issue here at La Crosse, of course, they are quite different in just about every single way. But as someone whose background is not in radio, rather, my background is in video, not the types of videos that Mr. Gao was creating, and neither was I creating anything nearly as stunning as the visuals behind Ms. Carpenter's videos, to be clear. My heart is still made nervous when I see what sort of feels to be the ghost of the late Hays Code rearing its head, not from the FCC or other federal regulatory systems where we can put to the test of what is constitutional, what is socially acceptable, what is allowed to be litigated. We can put that up in front of people and have a discussion about what media is and isn't wrong, ugly, adulterous, right? Nefarious. What we don't want, or at least what I don't want, is this sort of continued pass that institutions are given when someone within their institution engages in, just to put a name to it, sex work. And if no one else on the airwaves tonight says it, then I will say it, that for as long as one must engage with work in order to survive, for as long as work is work, then so too sex work is work. Now, if you want to have a discussion on necessity, survival, optics surrounding Mr. Gao, his position at the university, these things, I appreciate that. But it is my belief that what we have at hand here between Mr. Gao and Ms. Wilson's removal from some of their positions, and additionally the unnamed priest discussed in Ms. Carpenter's video, his removal from his position, we are sort of seeing, not sort of, we are seeing the continuation of what we used to see, I feel, in old Hollywood, where simply knowledge that you have the audacity to engage in something willingly that is different is somehow more open to punishment than engaging in behaviors we know to be outright unethical and illegal, like assault, like engaging in sexual acts without the consent of the other party or parties. That is a crime. Written in our laws, written in our law books, in theory, upheld by our laws and our courts. Yet I read nothing in the black and white of La Crosse's paperwork, nor the state's paperwork, nor the federal government's paperwork, that so long as the material, the adult material produced, has sufficiently met the codes as they stand for the production of adult material, and so long as I have read, no stipulation in the contract that one particularly avoid this activity, I struggle to see the point of the removal. Again, if the revelation of Mr. Gao's books, videos, I guess recipes as well, if the revelation of this media came with the revelation of accusations of outright illegal impropriety, such as assault, then I would say, well, there you go. That's okay. Then all of this together is altogether something different. But this has not been brought forward with accusation. Nor was the accusation levied at the priest in Brooklyn one of, oh, well, he was engaging in non-consensual interactions with whomever. And additionally, he allowed the filming of this. That would altogether be a different thing. But these things are not all together. All that there is are folks engaging in consensual legal activity and having the outright punishment, the sort of, as far as employment goes, the capital punishment of employment, firing, removal from position, be taken against you. That, to me, does not spell out a nation that upholds its laws. A nation that says, we have laws for a reason, here they are, here are the words and the letters that make them up. And when one sufficiently reaches this behavior that we've denoted to be illegal, then action will be taken. And up until that point, it won't. It amazes me that there are so many other situations, especially so specifically this country's, this world's university systems and the rampant sexual assault on our campuses, the prevalence of rape culture on our campuses, that we drag our feet through the concrete and mud, it seems, when even the most clear, most evidence-based accusation of impropriety, genuine illegal impropriety is made, it takes months, if not years, for any action to be taken. And yet in these instances where there is nothing written down regarding, oh, here's the step-by-step of how you get rid of your chancellor once you discover his porn. No. It bothers me. If we can enact this energy, this swiftness, the right to a swift trial that in theory all Americans are entitled to, and the due process that all Americans are entitled to, I feel we're missing some of that there. And I'm also missing the sound of a much more intelligent voice than mine on these days when Maggie's not around. And I don't have Maggie, but I do have someone I would put on par with her, and that is the lovely Joanne of Madison. Joanne, how are you? What say you today?
Oh, you're very kind with those words.
I try.
your presentation was insightful, and what I'd like to add to it is the perspective of faculty members. What message is all of this to be placed on faculty members who have to make decisions about what they do? Now, in a couple of the universities where I've taught, there have been amazing women poets who've had their reputations based on erotic poetry.
That's right.
Okay. And not just the writing of the poetry, but the delivery of the poetry. I remember some of the amazing auditoriums filled with people to listen to somewhat older ladies giving some amazing recitations. So, again, why is that? Is that going to be also stifled? I'm a little afraid for the future here if we're going back to the 1950s. Maybe we're being told that our society is moving back. Now, just one more point on it personally. I do robot research and AI research, and the big topics relate to child robot developments, let's say, of people, you know, making robots that look like children and then having
sure.
sex with them and all that. But I can't touch that type of research.
Right.
I'm very scared to touch that type of research. Even though I've spoken at love and sex with robots conferences.
What?
But the kind of research I'd like to do, I'm very scared to do because it I don't know if my university would support me.
And how... First of all, I need to unpack everything you've just said. First of all, the Love, Sex, and Robots conference, is that what you've said? First of all, Joanne, just go ahead and the next time that that conference rolls around, just shoot me an email. You don't have to cover me, but I'll roll up to that with you, because that sounds like a place I'd meet a lot of good friends. And also, how sad is it to hear a faculty member, especially someone with the proven intelligence and background as caller Joanne, how sad is it to hear a researcher, a scientist, a member of the public say that they are afraid to engage in the type of research they want to because the university that they are doing that research, frankly, kind of on the behalf of, might not support them? I feel for you. And I think the topic you've brought up, that being the intersection of robots, the images of children, the potential, are these tools that we could use to curb crimes that happen against children, or are these going to be things that actually make it actually worse? We don't know yet. And we don't know yet because no one's been able to do the research. The truth is, unfortunately, that society around us is going to do the research for us because, of course, as Joanne's alluded to, the idea that someone may make a robot that looks like a child and sell it for whatever purposes, right, is not one that exists solely in dystopian science fiction. It is one that exists in our reality. And to pull it back from robots just a little bit, and to just talk about research, STEM, these things in the universities, I am reminded that when I was still at university at UWM, we had a professor, Anthony Azenabar, who was accused of sexual assault. And it took so long for any action to be taken against Azenabar, for him to be taken into custody or to be removed from his position, blah, 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 that he's since fled. He fled the country in 2019. The length of inaction, the length of time of inaction extended so severely that the victims of Anzibar, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I don't know. You kind of lose the right to have your last name said correctly when you sexually assault people. But anyways, all of the victims of this person now lose out on their right to see their perpetrator be brought to justice because the actions on behalf of the state, the school, and so on were so slowed that he was able to, with his own passport, my understanding is this isn't a situation where he had to forge paperwork. His passport was never taken away from him. He had full access to his funds and money. He left. He prepared and he left. Yet we get wind that someone might be engaging in something with the full permission of the other people involved. And it is in that moment that we see lightning fast reaction times to remove people. The doors, the locks were changed before he even got back. If it's not about silencing those folks who are brave enough to come forward about actual assault, and if it's not about removing people from power who have different views on sex, and if it's not about enforcing a different moral sexual code than that which exists within the actual laws of this country, then what are we doing? Nothing to help students, nothing to help women, nothing to help our financially failing UW system. So let's talk about what we can do when we come back. Callers, I see you on the line. Stay there just a little longer. This is that short break, you know? Taking you to it is Renaissance Girl by Ali Bob.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is the Shaw, WAU.
On a Saturday morning, I put the pedal to the floor. Headed north on Mills Avenue, listen to the engine roar.
Welcome back to the last Maggie Dawn show of the year, my first last show, which is a weird way of phrasing it. What you just heard coming back is a cover of a song that means a lot to me. The original is This Year by the Mountain Goats. Unfortunately for everyone involved, the Mountain Goats are a male-fronted band, despite my best efforts for them to be otherwise. So this is a female cover by the incredible Rachel Marie. I love that name. You'll hear more of it as we exit, but before we do, I want to make sure we have time for some folks who have been very patient. Two guys who I've heard a lot from this year, and I'm happy to hear from them some more. First up is the fantastic sports announcer, a wealth of information about the Waukesha area, especially Carroll University, Greg Wanschneider on the line. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm well, Anya. Great show. Oh, great,
thanks.
Great show. Great topics tonight. Hey, I just want to say that consent is a beautiful, sacred thing. The more I think about how beautiful and how sacred the gift is, consent is really something that should be cherished. And for the fact that this institutions are valuing power over consent, there's nothing else you can call that, Anya, besides shameful. There's nothing else that matters. Consent is something that should be taught in even beginning in elementary school, middle school at least, through high school and even into college in human, something that should be valued. And unfortunately, people don't, and because people value power. And
that's exactly true, Greg. I apologize to cut you off there just to wrap, we're wrapping things up, but exactly as you've said, people don't teach it because it would undermine their ability later on to abuse that. Why would someone who has the power to institute, for example, as you've suggested very wisely, that conversations about consent begin in elementary school? If that happens, then those elementary schoolers might know something about consent. And in my opinion, as a former educator and as a former child, I think it's really important that our kids know what the word no means and the power behind it when they say it to someone, the power behind it when someone says it to them, and not the word no no, your script isn't good enough, or no, you're not pretty, but rather to mean no, I don't want you to physically touch me at the very least. It's amazing that we have to fight for that to be included in school curriculums when, quite obviously, it benefits everyone, except for, if I may, folks who cannot stand the possibility of being told no. Something, a phrase I hear sometimes, I think it's a really sketchy phrase because it can be lent towards this very topic, is when you can't afford to be told no, you don't ask. This is a phrase someone said to me when I was learning how to make documentary filmmaking, and this is not a phrase that I abide by in my documentary filmmaking. But the phrase was meant to imply that if you're not sure, for example, if it's legal to film, you know, this thing out in public, that instead of potentially losing the opportunity, you do it and then you ask questions later. And this is one thing when it's your personal art. You know, is there a law against mixing these two colors? Do it and find out later. It's a whole different thing when it's someone else's physical presence. And it disgusts me that we are going to come down so hard on individuals whose physical contact with others comes after clear consent and negotiation, and not those whose physical contact comes with no prior communication, with no consent, the exact enactment of abuse of power. It's interesting the type of folk who want to ensure that our children, our young people, our working class, our women, our people of color don't know the power when they of them wielding the word no. With that, one more caller, someone I've heard from most days of the week, has been a light and a joy to hear from, always with some fantastic insight about perhaps the stars above us or the world around us. Mark from the SAC, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing great, Anya. I like, and as a former union steward,
there we
go. When I was working, that I wonder if Chancellor Gao was actually given due process in this whole thing. But it was all consensual. And what bemuses me, is the condemnation from the legislature, and that their failure to recognize the logs in their own eyes that are in the legislature, because I know there's a number of them that, or had been a number of them, who were having affairs with members of their staff or somebody other than their spouse, and they're condemning this. And the failure of the Republicans to condemn Donald Trump, who was actually convicted civilly, if not criminally, of sexual assault. Incredible evidence that Donald Trump actually violated, minors. I mean, and it never came out because of the whole power structure we have in this country, that people were afraid to go up against Donald Trump. And here's a guy who, there's credible evidence out there that he, that along with Jeffrey Epstein, may have, that molested, if not raped, young girls.
That's exactly it. Mark, you completely summarize exactly my thoughts, that you have individuals who have publicly said very horrifying things, and yet no punishment is brought against them. I want to end with some words we played once on this show before, a statement from a student in Florida about Bridget, the Moms for Liberty mom I discussed earlier, on why she's losing her job. Or really why she should be losing her job.
For her gain seem to matter as much to us as her having a threesome does. Bridget Ziegler, you do not deserve to be on the Sarasota County School Board, but you do not deserve to be removed from it for having a threesome. That defeats the lesson we've been trying to teach you, which is that a politician's job is to serve their community, not to police personal lives. So, to be extra clear, Bridget, you deserve to be fired from your job because you are terrible at your job, not because you had sex with a woman.
And I just sort of want to say it again. May no one in this coming year be fired from their job for living life consensually, having these consensual relationships. May we see a year where it is those folks who act against consent and hurt people that we see swift action against them. I'll see you.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
OpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.